The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is your hour when Orlando Magic Senior Vice President Pat Williams sits down and speaks with authors who have written books on topics of interest and insight for listeners like you. And now, here's your host, Pat Williams.
Welcome again, folks, to the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. You're listening to 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando. And every weekend, right about this time, we gather. And we always have a great debt to Alan Dempsey, who does our engineering. Andrew Hurd Liska is our producer. And David Chadwick is going to be with us in this show, folks. He is the pastor of Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, former basketball player at North Carolina. He's written extensively on a wide range of subjects. His most recent book is From Superficial to Significant, and that's what we're going to be talking about. David, first of all, welcome. I'm glad that we can hook up.
Well, thanks, Pat. It's great to be on your show, and I have the greatest admiration for you and who you are and all you've done for the good Lord's work.
And you've got strong, deep roots here in Orlando, don't you?
I do indeed. My father, Howard Chadwick, was the pastor of First Presbyterian Church downtown for 16 years.
Mm.
And he retired in the late 1980s, and I actually went to high school at Boone High School, where I played under Ivan Repass, a dear coach who's passed away. But there I was recruited by Dean Smith and went to the University of North Carolina and played 4 years there as a scholarship athlete.
What did those years mean to you?
Well, they were incredibly important for me. I think, first of all, playing under a man like Dean Smith was important because he's such an honorable man and lived life the way it's supposed to be lived. He taught us principles by which to live that carried over for all of my life. So I had the privilege of playing for a man who passed away a little over 2 years ago, who taught me principles that carry over to leadership, especially. Like, I've been a pastor now for 38 years, and I still apply what Coach Smith taught me in practical, applicable ministry today.
What made him such a good leader, Dave?
Well, I think, Pat, it's because he really had principles, and the principles guided his decisions. And whenever he was confronted with a difficult decision, he made the decision based on the principles, not people-pleasing, not profit, not power, but for the purpose of trying to serve others. And I look at his life, and I see that his real power in leadership was he believed he was supposed to serve his players to help them become all they were supposed to be and not use the players for his own self-aggrandizement. And if I had to put into a nutshell why he was such a great coach, Hall of Famer, you know, ESPN said between 1975 and 2000, he was the best coach in any sport. It was because he really did care for his players. He was a servant leader, to use those terms you and I both understand. And that was what made him such a great man, I think.
Mm. Tell me about your new book.
Well, it's called From Superficial to Significant. And the reason I wrote it was I was becoming increasingly concerned with the Christian faith and how we were wrongly considering what is truly great in God's eyes. I think we were buying more and more into the culture's view of greatness. We were thinking it's all about me. We were thinking that the purpose of success in life is to make me look good, the celebrity pastor phenomenon in America today. So, Pat, I sat down and looked at all the biblical views of greatness, what the Word of God says is truly great. And I looked at it against our culture, and I said, these two don't match. So I came up with 10, to use basketball terminology, fundamentals of the faith. You know, Coach Smith, one season, said, we're going to be the greatest team in America because we're going to practice the fundamentals well. When we looked at each other, we were predicted to finish seventh out of eight teams in the ACC back when the ACC only had eight teams. And yet, in the first 6 weeks of practice, we just went through the fundamentals over and over and over again, almost ad nauseum. We ended up not only winning the Atlantic Coast Conference, but going on to perform really well in the national championships. So I thought to myself, well, the fundamentals are that important in basketball. They've got to be that important in faith. So I listed the 10 fundamentals of greatness that I think are in the Bible, And that's what caused me to write the book, From Superficial to Significant, not having a superficial faith, but a real significant faith that practices the fundamentals of the Scripture over and over again.
Teach us about the Great Reversal, first of all.
Yeah, the Great Reversal is the view of Jesus that in heaven, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And it just is a total reversal of the culture's definition of greatness. And then I went on to define, well, in heaven, what's most important to God is humility, and what's least important to him is pride. So the people in heaven who will be at the front of the line are those who have practiced humility, and those who are at the end of the line are those who practice pride. You know, pride comes before the fall, and those who choose humility, James 4:10 says, God will lift up. So I spend the chapter really talking about what is humility, that it is an understanding that God created everything, and especially our eternal salvation is a total gift by God. It's by grace alone that we receive eternal life. So we live our lives humbly in gratitude, thanksgiving probably being the best evidence of humility in our lives, opposing pride, fighting against pride, so that we can indeed be the first in the kingdom of heaven.
David, do you think humility is something that you've got to work at and be aware of every day?
I do, Pat, because, again, the Bible says we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and then he will lift us up. Well, that implies a choice, doesn't it? Someone once said to me, we either are be humbled or be humbled. You know, we choose humility, or God chooses humility for us, and that choice is a daily choice. You know, Jesus said anyone who follows him must deny self and take up their cross and follow him. Well, again, that's a daily choice. We have to choose against the pride of this world, the self-aggrandizement of this world, and to make Jesus the focal point of our lives and constantly choose humility.
Then there's another topic here. It's called the Great Paradox. You spend a lot of time on that. What does that mean?
Well, the Great Paradox is this whole strange phenomenon that is repeatedly taught in the Scripture that when we are weak, we become strong. And the illustration I used there was in the lifting of weights for athletes. We go into the weight room and we have resistance with the weights. And in the resistance, our muscles are torn down. But then over the next 24 to 36 hours, they are made stronger by becoming weak. Similarly, like Paul said, that he learned that God's grace was sufficient for him in his weakness. And when we are weak and pushing against the cultures and the world's view of how things ought to be, we become strong in Christ because we are depending totally and completely on him. It's a paradox again. In our culture, we think only the strong survive. From the biblical perspective, when we're weak and we resist the things of this world, we become stronger in Christ. His grace becomes sufficient for us.
The name of the book, From Superficial to Significant, what it means to become great in God's eyes. And some of the kingdom fundamentals of faith include the Great Reversal. We've talked about that. The Great Paradox. Now, David, the Great Perseverance. And that means what?
Well, that means, Pat, that when we are called to follow Jesus, we need to recognize there's going to be that resistance to which I just referred. Jesus in John 16:33 said, in this world you will have tribulations. Then he said, but rejoice, I have overcome the world. I think sometimes those of us who are pastors and evangelists and speakers, when we call people to follow Jesus, we need to warn them that they have an enemy of their soul, the evil one, who will constantly fight against them. They have their flesh, this inward desire for self-exaltation within us, and we have a world that just doesn't believe like Jesus teaches. And those tribulations, those resistances, those issues are going to be a part of our lives when we choose to follow Jesus. When that's understood, then, we should have a great perseverance that allows us to persevere to the end. One of the great theologians of our day, R.C. Sproul, who's down there in the Orlando area, once said, you'll know you're a Christian if you're a Christian tomorrow. That means you'll be able to follow Jesus to the end, even to the end of your days. And that perseverance proves your faith in Jesus. In Luke 18:8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back again, will I find faith on earth? Well, he wants us to have faith, but the only way that faith really grows is by persevering through those difficult tribulations that naturally come to all of us when we decide to follow Jesus.
My guest is Pastor David Chadwick, pastor of Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, author of From Superficial to Significant. We've got another segment with David. Stay with us. We're deeply immersed in his new book, From Superficial to Significant. It's a good read. There's a lot of meat in here, a lot of material, what it means to become great in God's eyes. I'm your host, Pat Williams, and every weekend we gather here for the Saturday Power Hour. You're listening to 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word, in Orlando, and we're always very, very pleased when you join us. Please tell others. More with David Chadwick from Forest Hill Church in Charlotte right after these messages.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-725-1616 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-725-1616. That's 800-725-1616. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Join Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, as he opens God's Word every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. If you missed the Sunday broadcast, you can listen and study along with Dr. Jordan 24/7 at WTLN.com by clicking on the podcast tab and then Riches of Grace. Riches of Grace, a service of Grace Impact Ministries at graceimpact.org. 5:30 Sunday on 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word.
Have you ever heard the saying, when it comes to wedding planning, don't scrimp on the photographer? But the reality is you need to keep the wedding budget on course. Well, we now have a way to help you with the most important day in your life, or your son or your daughter's. It's Half Price Wedding Photography. Get the details at AmazingRadioDeals.com. AmazingRadioDeals.com. We can save you thousands with the options you're looking for, like 8-hour coverage, retouch, digital files on flash drive, and more. Your planning's complete with Half Price Wedding Photography. Now at AmazingRadioDeals.com. AmazingRadioDeals.com. Deals.com.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
David Chadwick pastors Forest Hill Church in Charlotte. He writes extensively. His most recent book, From Superficial to Significant, a good part of your book, David, The Great Commandment, Part 1, The Great Commandment, Part 2, that you write about in this book. I want you to explain all that to us.
Yeah, you know, when I looked at The Great Commandment, another one of the great fundamentals of the faith that Jesus talked about, I realized I really needed two chapters because both are so profound. So the first one was to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and might. That's what Jesus said is being great in the sight of God. And, Pat, what I did in that chapter was talked about, well, how do we love God? And I think the key to loving God with all that is within us is realizing first how much he loved us. 1 John 4:10, for this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And the illustration I used goes back to my Boone High School days in Orlando when I played basketball. I was warming up one time in the warm-up line, and I looked up into the stands, and I saw a figure that I said, that's Dean Smith, the head coach at the University of North Carolina. And sure enough, he'd come to watch me play. Then after that, he came and visited in my home. He invited me up to the university to visit, and then he offered me a scholarship. And, Pat, I realized that, who is David Chadwick? You know, that I got to play under this great man at North Carolina. And in the list of all of the lettermen who played there, from Michael Jordan to Phil Ford to our mutual friend, Bobby Jones, so many people who are great, great players. And there in the list of Carolina lettermen is the name David Chadwick. And I thought to myself, I'm not a great athlete. How did I get to play there? Well, it wasn't because I got to choose North Carolina. It really was because Coach Smith came and first recruited me. He's the one that asked me to sign the scholarship. So I revel in the fact that I was recruited by him. He first loved me before I ever loved him. Mm-hmm. The same is true with God. If you ever doubt how much he loves you, remember, he initiated the contact. He made the first phone call. He asked you to be on his team. It's all about him. That should create our love for him. That's how we love him, with all our heart, soul, mind, and might.
Mm. David, tell me that story about Dean Smith. I guess it was after your first year, and you had a meeting with him about you wanted more playing time. You wanted to play more at Carolina, and he had a little chat with you, as I recall.
Yeah, Pat, it's one of my favorite stories. I didn't get to play much my sophomore year. We had a great team, a Final Four team, and he had told me that he thought I had potential to play more, but I was frustrated and, like most players, wondering, should I transfer because I wanted playing time. So after every season, he has a time with his players where he sits down and evaluates with each one of us who we are, our strengths, our weaknesses, what we need to do to get better. So I went into his office, and I thought I could play off the team concept, because if there's ever a coach who really emphasized team, it was Dean Smith. And I went in and I said, Coach Smith, you know, I really want to help the team next year. You know, what can I do to help the team? You know how much I want to be a team player. And Pat, he looked me in the eye and said, David, you really want to help this team become a better team next year? I said, oh, yes, Coach, I really do. He looked me in the eye and said, well, become a better player. And he was so right. And then he outlined for me all that I needed to do to get quicker, bigger, stronger, faster, understand the team concept better. And I went to work that summer, did what he said I needed to do, and sure enough, he gave me more playing time the next year. But I'll never forget that. You want to make the team better? Become a better player.
How have you utilized that in your own teaching, your own instruction, maybe with your children or people at the church? How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with my children. I have three children, and my two sons were both Division I scholarship athletes. And my daughter could have played collegiate volleyball, but she chose not to. But with all three, I kept saying to them over and over again, you are responsible for your own life. Nobody can live your life for you. And if you want to succeed at the highest level, it's up to you. You're the one that has to become disciplined. You're the one that has to make yourself a better player. And if you want to help your team succeed, you've got to become better. So they had to work hard in the regular, rigorous disciplines of athletics that are demanded every single day. And in the church life, Pat, what I've said to our Christians who follow me at Forest Hill Church, the church I've pastored for over three decades, I've said to them, if you want this church to affect the world, then you've got to become a more faithful follower of Jesus. You've got to discipline your flesh. You've got to resist the evil one, and you've got to give your life away for the glory of the kingdom of God. And then if we have thousands of people, which we do have, totally disciplining themselves, becoming better Christians, Forest Hill will not only impact Charlotte, but it will impact the entire world.
There's another topic that you get into here. It's called the Great Want To. You do a whole chapter on it, David. Tell us about that.
Pat, this is the chapter on holiness. And I just don't think Christians today are thinking seriously enough about what it means to be holy. Jesus, repeated by Peter, that's also in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, said, be holy as I am holy. It's just not optional. It's something that all Christians should seek. But it's something you've got to really, really want. It's not a byproduct of the Christian life. You've got to really want to be holy as Jesus is holy. And I think the key for that is, first of all, hating sin, and then secondly, loving God and his grace. And the illustration I use about hating sin is when I was a child, I ate beets, and for whatever reason, I became extraordinarily sick in the middle of the night. I threw up all night long. Well, Pat, to this day, when I have a beet placed in front of me, I become nauseous. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I do. Well, in the same way, whenever we think about our sin, that which has caused us to become sick, but mostly has hurt the heart of God, we should become nauseous before him. Sin should be a holy offense to us. And then we realize the grace that God has given us to overcome our sin, and that love that empowers us to be greater than our sin, and that causes us then to be holy as God is holy. But it's not something that happens casually or frivolously. It's a great want to. The deepest depths of our hearts wants to be holy as God is holy.
David, tell us about the chapter called The Great Generosity. What are you writing here?
Well, I'm writing about the chief evil that we have to confront daily called materialism in our lives. And that when we follow Jesus, we realize in 2 Corinthians 8 language that he left the comforts of heaven to enter the squalor of this world in order to die for our sins and give us the free gift of eternal life. I mean, what a gracious, generous gift of the Father. And when you look at all that we have in this universe, again, especially our eternal salvation, it's all because of the generous heart of our great Father in heaven. Well, when we invite Jesus into our hearts, the generosity of the Father should be the generosity of our hearts. And then I look at all the desires around us to possess more and more and more. And I say in the book, Pat, that people are created for more than more, that we've got to stop this covetousness in our lives and learn great generosity, because our God is a God of great generosity. And I teach on some of the ways that we can discipline our lives to move toward the 10%, which I think is the training wheels of being able to learn generosity, and then learning to give away to this world our possessions, our lives, like our Father through Jesus has done for us.
David, I'd love to get your thoughts on Jesus as a coach, Jesus as a teacher with his followers. Do you ever think about that?
All the time. And again, I had the privilege of playing for one of the greatest coaches ever in Coach Dean Smith at the University of North Carolina. And I think about what he taught us as players about daily discipline, about sacrifice. You know, Pat, he was the one who started this whole movement of pointing to the player who gives you a pass. You know, I mentioned earlier that one of our mutual friends is Bobby Jones. And you know, if you didn't point to the person who gave you the pass, Coach Smith would take you out of the game and sit you on the bench, because he wanted to teach all of us how to be thankful to other people who help us to succeed. Well, one time Bobby caught a ball and laid it up and missed the basket. And instinctively, he pointed to the person who gave him the pass. And Coach Smith said, "I like that." So thereafter, even if he missed the basket, you had to point to the person who gave you the pass. Well, that's our coach teaching players how to live in thanksgiving. Everything we succeed in life with has been because somebody else has sacrificed to allow us to do that. That's the idea of a coach teaching principles that are eternal. Our coach, Jesus, teaches us principles that are eternal by which we live, one of them obviously being thankfulness for all that we've received.
Tell me about the Bobby Jones that you've come to know.
Well, you know, he lives in Charlotte, and Bobby was a great player at Carolina. He was also an NBA All-Star. As you know, Pat, you were the GM with Philadelphia when he played there. But you know what most people don't realize is he's a much better human being and a follower of Jesus than he is a basketball player. Probably only eternity will reveal how much he's done for people behind the scenes, how he's cared for folks in need with his own generosity of his personal finances. He's just a great individual, and I'm honored to know him as a friend, and I know you are as well.
Yeah, he's become a very comfortable, effective public speaker, which was not easy for him initially, but he's become very good on his feet.
And it's surprisingly so. You know, at Carolina, he was exceedingly shy, but I think through the years, as he's loved his Lord so much and had more opportunities to share, he's just become very comfortable as a public speaker and very effective.
David Chadwick is our guest. His book is called From Superficial to Significant, What It Means to Become Great in God's Eyes. How have people reacted to what you've written here, David?
Pat, I think generally positively. I think America is experiencing in its Christian faith a superficiality, and people are knowing it. It's become increasingly in the faith about me and my needs and my wants being met by God giving me my breakthrough. Now, certainly I believe in God giving breakthroughs and God being a God of blessing. But Pat, in my life, and I can't speak for yours, but most of my days are spent disciplining my flesh, denying myself, taking up my cross, faithfully following Jesus. Then when I need a breakthrough, occasionally God will come through for me. But most of the time it's spent being faithful day in and day out. And that's what I'm trying to get across in the book. There are 10 fundamentals of greatness in God's eyes. Should we practice them, he will be well pleased, and we move toward that wonderful day when we hear from him, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think a lot of people across the land have received the book well, thinking this is an attempt to move the American Christian deeper in Christ and to be more faithful for him.
David, we have covered those chapters with the exception of two, the Great Exchange and A Great Faith. We didn't really get into those two, but I want you to. Go ahead, please.
Well, the first one's The Great Exchange. Pat, it's the first chapter, and it all begins with The Great Exchange. That's the gospel. Everything in our Christian faith begins with the gospel. And what that is I talk about how in sports there are trading deadlines, and you knew this as a GM. Mm-hmm. There are times in the year when you make trades, and you trade a player for another player on another team. You don't know whether the trade's a good trade or not often until years in the future. But I talk about The Great Exchange being God's trade. And what happens is God trades all of our sin for his perfect righteousness. It's a straight-up trade. It's by grace through faith. And who would not accept that trade? Who would not want to give all of their sin and put it on Jesus on the cross and then receive from God his perfect righteousness and forgiveness? And it's a straight-up trade again. It's by grace through faith. We just receive it because God loves us. And that's the beginning of it all. That's where it all begins, the good news that we are forgiven by Jesus, and we can exchange our sin for his grace.
The Great Exchange and A Great Faith.
Well, The Great Faith, interestingly, is one that I go through looking at Jesus referring to other people's faith. And there are two places in the Bible where he says to the Syrophoenician woman and then to the Roman centurion that their faith is great. In fact, it even says he marveled at their faith. And I thought it was interesting that it was two Gentiles that Jesus marveled at their faith. And then I ask in the book, Pat, would Jesus marvel at your faith? Do you really believe that God is the God of the impossible, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? And I challenge people not to be like the ones where Jesus looked and said he marveled at their unbelief, but to be people who really do believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything we ever hoped for or imagined. I challenge people to have a great miracle-working faith in their lives.
David Chadwick is our guest. The book, From Superficial to Significant. We've got more with David right after these messages. It's the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. You're listening to 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando, Florida. And folks, we're always tickled to death when you join us.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-863-5858.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-863-5858. This offer won't last. Call now. 1-800-863-5858. 800-863-5858.
Are you looking for a new job? Christian Help encourages you to attend the Central Florida Job Fair, where you'll find over 85 companies offering thousands of career openings in various industries. On July 12th, this job fair is taking place in Orlando at the Central Florida Fair Expo Park on West Colonial Drive from 12 noon until 4 p.m. with free parking and admission. Professional dress is required and no children, please. Register as a job seeker today online, cfec.org. And then don't miss the job fair on July 12th.
here on The Word, we're very excited to welcome a brand new program you won't want to miss. Sunday morning at 11:30.
Thank you for allowing us into your homes. We are
Laureen
and Tony Giorgio, living with Victory Ministries, formerly Compassion Children's Foundation. We advocated for seriously ill children who are falling through the cracks. Join us
for Living with Victory, a program that will help you in life storms because Jesus is your umbrella. Tune in Sundays, 11:30 a.m. on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word.
See you then.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
David Chadwick is with us. He pastors Forest Hill Church in Charlotte. He's been doing that since 1980. He writes books. Former North Carolina basketball player, good friend. David, I want you to talk to our listeners with counsel, with advice on what you have found are effective ways to study God's Word.
Well, Pat, I think the first thing is people have to believe that God's Word is true and that it expresses the character of God. I believe faith and great faith that produces miracles is related to believing that God is a loving Father and He wants the best for our lives. So when you open the Bible, you're opening a storyline, a salvation history, if you will, from Genesis 1 and 2, which is creation, original intent, that everything was created by God perfectly as He intended. But then Genesis 3 and our rebellion introduced the fall, and sin has shattered everything in our world. So the first thing you've got to do is to know that God is good. He created the world good. But then God made an attempt to give a history lesson, if you will, and that Bible reveals that history lesson from the calling of Abraham and the formation of Israel, giving them worship and laws to follow, their rebellion against God, then finally God sending His Son into the world in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus coming into the world, dying for our sins, then in Acts, the formation of the church, and in the rest of the Bible, from Romans through Revelation, letters to those churches on how to believe rightly in Jesus and then to practice their faith. So to have that biblical overview that shows a pursuing, loving Father God who loves us so deeply through Jesus, who wants to restore Genesis 1 and 2, which is the kingdom of heaven. So every day you sit down, then, and you read a section of Scripture, and you ask, how does it fit into that salvation history storyline from Genesis through Revelation, the coming back of Jesus to restore original intent? And then secondly, ask these two questions. What does it mean? And then what does it mean for me? You see, what does it mean in the larger storyline of salvation history? But then what does it mean to me? What's it saying to me personally in my life? And then I have a book, a journal that I write in every day and write down what God is saying to me. And then I pray my prayers in that book. And then what helps me a year from now, I can look back and say, oh, this is how the Lord was dealing with me in my own story, in the story of God's Word. Those are some principles that I've used that have greatly helped me as I've studied God's Word.
Talk to us about prayer, David. How do we go about it?
Well, Pat, prayer is intimacy with Christ. It's really rooted in the fact that Jesus lives in me and I live in Him. It's this personal, living, dynamic relationship that we have with Jesus. The Christian faith is not rules and regulations. It is a dynamic relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ. So if I know that and I'm abiding in Him and He's abiding in me in John 15, verse 4 language, then every day is a conversing with the Father in heaven through Jesus. And all prayer is a continual conversation with God. So I can pray anytime, any place, any way with Him. But also I set aside certain times and places where I just want to be alone with Him and talk with Him. So I imagine myself often, Pat, sitting on a park bench with Jesus. He's got His arm around me, and He looks me in the eye and says, what's your heart's needs today, my son? And I'll just tell Him. Often I'll write them down. Sometimes I'll just outwardly speak the words. But in the intimacy of that conversation, I pray, and it only draws us closer together, again, as I abide in Him and He abides in me.
Why is it so hard, David, for so many Christians to share their faith, to be a witness for Christ?
Pat, I can only give you my personal opinion in 38 years of pastoring and dealing with a lot of people. I think the primary concern is a fear of rejection, that they're just afraid that people are going to not like them. And, you know, I've learned through the years, people make lousy gods. If you're depending on them for your sense of self-worth, you'll be forever disappointed. Only Jesus can give your life self-worth. And I'm more concerned about pleasing him than I am pleasing man. You know, Jesus himself said, don't fear man who can only kill your body, but fear God who has the power to cast both body and soul into hell. And if you can move people beyond the people-pleasing idolatry, the fear of rejection, and to realize their purpose in life is to please God and God first and alone, then they'll have a more passionate desire to share their faith. And if they get rejected, they get rejected. So what? They know they are pleasing in the sight of the Father. So I think that's the major reason, Pat, is the fear of people, the fear of rejection. When you can overcome that, you'll be a more powerful, positive proclaimer of the gospel message.
David, I want you to talk to parents who struggle with their children's faith, getting them to go to church, getting them to go to Sunday school, worrying about them when they head off to college. What have you learned?
Well, the first thing, Pat, is at the earliest possible age, develop a close relationship with your child. I've lived this adage with my own three children, all of whom love Jesus passionately, but kids spell love T-I-M-E. Mm. And you've got to write in your calendar time with your children, time when you're alone with them, time when you build that relationship, time to enjoy them. And then faith becomes a real natural product of their lives. Faith is more caught than taught. I've learned with my three children, they want the faith that I have more than what I've said to them. Another formula, Pat, that's worked for me that I've taught parents is remember R plus R minus R equals R. And then your listeners are going, what does that mean? Well, here it is. Rules and regulations, R plus R minus a relationship equals rebellion. If you don't have that relationship with your kids, they're ultimately going to rebel. So make sure at the earliest possible ages and on through their elementary, middle school, and high school years, you spend time with them. Well, now parents might be asking, well, it's too late for me. I didn't do that. What do I do? And the answer is prayer and model the faith. Reach out to your children. Continue to pursue them. Let them know how much you love them unconditionally and let them see the Father flowing through your life and hope and pray they'll emulate who you have in your life, not what you do.
What do you feel should be parents' relationship with grandchildren?
Well, I have four, and they are the joy of my life. It's really fun to realize that loving grandchildren is all about just loving them and not having to discipline them and give them back to their parents. But I think grandparents can have an incredible impact on their grandchildren because you can be with them, and you can just love them, and they can see Jesus flow through you. And again, you can then give them back to the parents and not have to do the tough discipline stuff. So parenting is hard. Grandparenting is more fun. And I would say to grandparents, too, don't dismiss, as you spend time with your grandchildren, the opportunity to continue to pray for them. There's nothing more powerful than the prayers of a parent and maybe even a grandparent as well.
David, how do you get your kids excited to go to church on Sunday morning rather than dragging them out of bed by the ankle, pulling them along the carpet, down the stairs, you know, which I did for many, many years, and get them into the van, and off we go. And I often wondered, gosh, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, Pat, the kids have got to see that your own faith is real and vibrant and alive for you, that it's not just rules and regulations, you going through the motions. I mean, what kid would want that kind of faith? Well, when they see it alive in you, I think they more want what you have and who you are more than what you say, you know, like I just said. But I think also you've got to go to a church that has a dynamic, exciting, and alive children's ministry that makes them want to go. So parents, make sure you're a part of a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-inspired church that has programs that make the gospel attractive. What we've discovered at Forest Hill is oftentimes the kids are the ones who drag their parents to church because they love coming so much, and then the parents come and hear the gospel, and then they get excited about their faith. So I would also emphasize the importance of going to a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and Holy Spirit-inspired church.
David, where are you on Christian education, Christian schools?
Well, I think they're important and probably more important as the society becomes increasingly secularized. And I am dismayed by the number of public schools across our country that are using the school system as a way to socially engineer kids toward a certain position that is not biblical. I think increasingly parents are going to be forced to send their kids to Christian schools just because they need that biblical worldview. But if you can't afford it, Pat, you know, there is still the opportunity, especially in those early years, for kids to be in an educational environment in the public schools where they can be salt and light, but also still get a basic, solid education. But that means the parents have to be involved. They have to be there knowing what the kids are being taught and counteract it at home. With my children, all three of whom went to public schools for most of their education, we would hear things and then get them at home and say, now, that's what the public school's teaching you. That's not what we believe as Christians, and that's not why we follow Jesus. And we found our voice to be more important in their lives because we had the relationship to help them counteract what they were hearing in the public schools.
What about Christian colleges? Are they important?
They are, and I think, again, every parent has to make that decision for their own children, and their own children have to make that decision as they pray as well. There's a place for them. They're important. I have discovered, though, Pat, you know, at secular universities across the country, though becoming increasingly liberal in this past commencement address cycle, interestingly, 41 out of 45 commencement speakers were all of a liberal bent. But on that side, we still need to realize at schools like North Carolina, where I went and has a great educational background, though liberal, has many pockets of real strong biblical conservative Christianity going on. So kids can find that even in the larger liberal university system. They just got to be intentional, but they are there.
That would be, and talk about this, David, FCA, CREW, these different parachurch organizations, is that kind of what you're referring to?
Exactly. They're all there, and each campus has stronger ones of the organizations that you just mentioned than others. But if kids are intentional, and probably a good place to go initially is to a strong Bible-centered local church, and then just ask the question, what are the strongest campus organizations that emphasize Bible, that emphasize Jesus, that emphasize the gospel, that emphasize the Holy Spirit? They'll hear which are those best organizations, and they can find them if they're intentional.
David Chadwick is our guest. From Superficial to Significant, What It Means to Become Great in God's Eyes. David, I want you to tell me about your son, the swimmer. I'm excited about this young man. What's going on with him?
Oh, well, thank you, Pat. I have one daughter who has four children, my grandchildren, and another son, David, who played Division I basketball at Valparaiso University. Just a wonderful son. And my last son, Michael, 22, just graduated from the University of Missouri. He's Missouri's most decorated swimmer in history, but he just made the USA national team and will swim in the World Championships in Budapest, Hungary, the end of July. And it's like making the Olympic team. You know, in the off-Olympic years, the World Championships are the most important thing. So he made the team, and we're real excited for him in the 100 freestyle. And we think that he has a bright future. He just signed a contract with an agent. He's going to be a professional swimmer now for the next several years of his life. Getting married at the end of December to a wonderful, lovely girl he met at the University of Missouri. So we'll see how his pro swimming career goes, but he's going to go for it and try to swim through the 2020 Tokyo Olympic cycle, and I hope he'll make the team. We'll see in another 3 years.
Now, will you be in Budapest this summer?
I will. My wife and I, when he made the team, looked at each other and said, should we go? And we shrugged our shoulders and said, how can we not miss this? It's going to cost a chunk of change, but you know, you'll do anything for your kids, and you love to be a part of their lives, as you know, above anybody.
Oh, that's great. That's great. David Chadwick is a proud papa these days, so we're going to have to follow. What's his first name, David?
His name is Michael. Michael Chadwick.
Michael Chadwick. Yeah. Well, we will follow, you know, USA Today. I mean, now that name will mean something, and you've developed a fan base down here in Orlando.
I hope so, Pat. Thank you.
We've got another segment with David. We're talking about From Superficial to Significant, What It Means to Become Great in God's eyes. Just a reminder, this is the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. I'm your host, and we gather like this every weekend right here on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word, in Orlando. And please check out my latest book. It's called The Success Intersection. When your greatest talent intersects with your strongest passion, you have found your sweet spot in life. And that's where you want to stay. That's where you want to make your living. More after this. Stay with us.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word.
Hi, I'm Barbara Sandbeck, your host on Grace Notes, a 15-minute program that contains biblical teaching and a wide variety of music. Some of the subjects we address are, why do we have trials, and cultivating intimacy with God. You can listen right here on WTLN every Sunday at 2:45 p.m. Can't catch the whole broadcast? Visit our podcast on the web 24/7 on WTLN.com. So tune in. You won't want to miss it.
Once I started drinking, it was on. I was so depressed. I drank by myself every night. It wasn't just me that was a problem. There was a chemical imbalance that had to be taken care of as well.
The fact is, a large percentage of alcohol and drug abusers have underlying psychological issues that are the root of their problem, including depression, ADHD, anxiety, bipolar, and eating disorders. But most addiction treatment centers are not qualified to treat these conditions. At Sovereign Health, we're different. Our patients are supported by a team of real doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and addiction specialists who can properly diagnose and treat the addiction problem.
It's been almost 3 years now that I've been sober. I learned that there is life outside of the walls of the depression and the drinking.
Struggling with addiction? Get help now. Call Sovereign Health. The consultation is free and most insurance plans accepted. Call 800-417-4842. That's 800-417-4842. 800-417-4842.
It's summer and already time to get ready for school in the fall. Well, you've got to be prepared. Maybe your school's boundaries got moved, or your kids didn't do quite as well as you had hoped. Is it time for a change? Then it's time for a private Christian education, and we can help you get started with half-price tuition at some of the best Central Florida schools. Go to AmazingRadioDeals.com right now. AmazingRadioDeals.com. Check out the schools, get the details, then call 407-618-1760. But hurry, there are a limited number available. Elementary to high school, even college level, available now. Go to AmazingRadioDeals.com.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
I'm Pat Williams. We are here with you folks for the Saturday Power Hour. One more segment with my friend David Chadwick, pastor of Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, author of From Superficial to Significant. David, what's the next book idea that's pouring through your veins?
Well, I'm talking with my publisher right now about it. Something that I just can't get rid of, Pat, is this whole idea of a miracle-working faith. You know, Jesus, all the time, when he dealt with people, said, your faith has made you well. In Mark 11, he said, if you believe in God and speak to the mountain and don't doubt, you can declare the mountain to go into the heart of the sea, and it will be moved. You know, the faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the belief in things not seen, Hebrews 11:1, the only definition of faith. So something stirring deep within me to try to unpack what it means to have a miracle-working faith that can literally move the hands of God.
Do you have an outline to the book? I mean, are you how far along are you?
Well, I've got an outline, and really the outline is Mark 11, 22 through 25, what we just discussed. And each one of those different phrases would be a chapter. Like the first one is, you know, have faith. And really, what is the definition of faith? And the next chapter would be, well, have faith in God. And who is God? And why can we believe in him? And he's the author of all life, so therefore he is able to do miracles. So each one of those phrases becoming a chapter that I'm thinking through right now.
David, when did you realize you could write?
Well, I've written sermons, Pat, for, you know, 38 years now, and so I've always had a writing acumen, just rooted in the preaching responsibility mm-hmm. each week. But in the late 1990s, after Coach Smith made his announcement he was going to retire, I was walking with my wife, Marilyn, and she said, you know, you really should write a book on what Coach Smith taught you about leadership. And I brushed her off, and she said, no, I'm really serious. She said, you know, you are a writer. That's what you do. And you have a vantage point as one of his former players that no one else would have. So I sat down and outlined the book, outlined the chapters, and got a publisher, and sure enough, wrote it. And it became fairly successful. You know, it's called The 12 Leadership Principles of Dean Smith, later republished under the title It's How You Play the Game after he passed away. So that was my first foray into writing, Pat. And then I followed it up with a book about my dad, again, who was the pastor at First Presbyterian Orlando, Florida, for 16 years, of what he meant to me in my life, which then was followed up by another book called Moments of Hope, which was a daily devotional. So those three books launched me in the early 2000s. And then I took a hiatus when my dad got really sick and I had to care for him. And then over the last 3 years, I've written five other books and really gotten into the swing of things. But you're the master there, Pat Williams. You're the guy that knows more about writing a plethora, a number of books.
Well, it all starts, David, with a stirring within your heart, your mind, and you can't get rid of it. And your voice, the voice is saying, this needs to come out. This book needs to be written. Now can we find a publisher who agrees? That's the key. I mean, you've got to hit them with a good proposal. And I've been very fortunate for these 40 plus years, David, that enough publishers have said yes. I guess the day will come when they start saying no, and I guess that's when your writing career ends.
I think so. But, Pat, that's remarkable that you've done over 100 books now, because publishing today is not like it was in the 80s and 90s, as you know, when it was the golden era of writing in America. It's become increasingly more difficult with social media and other ways that people are getting their information. Mm-hmm. But for you to be published like you are with the volumes of book and then people still to buy them and read them speaks so well of you. What you do publish touches people's hearts.
Well, I appreciate that. I still have a few more in the pipeline, David, that we're working on. I've got four more books that, you know, we're obligated to get finished. And there's still some ideas that I'm trying to get into proposal form, and we'll see where it all leads. But it does keep me occupied. It keeps me out of trouble. And I'm a reader as well, David. I read constantly. And so I'm always looking for good books, good material.
Well, Pat, you know that every leader is a reader.
Yes.
And if you don't, you won't be an effective leader.
Yeah. When you wrote that first book, David, you know, when Coach Smith is a leader, was he still sharp enough? Did he read the book? Did you ever hear from him?
He was so kind. He told me he was honored that one of his former players would write a book about him. The only thing he asked me, Pat, in the original ask to write the book was that I not deify him. I mean, he looked me straight in the eye with those piercing eyes, and he said, the one thing I ask, please do not deify me. I'm a broken human being. I have lots of flaws. Don't deify me. And I said, well, Coach, I'll try, but you just need to know you've influenced so many of us. It'll be hard not to. And he wrote me and said, thank you for doing this. I'm humbled that you would spend the time to write this about me. Pat, one of the most interesting things in the writing of that book, though, was when I gave him the outline, like you talked about, and showed the 12 principles by which I think he led and made decisions, he looked at the principles and said, where did these come from? And I thought, my goodness. And I realized they were so embedded in him through his mom and dad, through Fog Allen, under whom he played at the University of Kansas, through other influential people in his life. They were just so much there, they naturally diffused from his very being. And I think that's what great leaders do, is they just have these principles in them. They just come out because they're who they are, and that's what made him such a great coach.
Mm. Tell me the story of the $200 to each of his players.
Mm. Well, we were in Iowa. My wife and I, Marilyn, were in Iowa at Michael's 2015 NCAA Swim Championship. And I got a phone call from Scott Fowler, who is a writer for the Charlotte Observer. And he said, David, I just heard a rumor that Coach Smith has given each one of his former players from his estate through his lawyer, and he'd already passed away some time then, $200 to take anybody they wanted to out for dinner on him. And I said, well, Pat, Scott, I'm away. I haven't gotten the check. I said, when I get back, let me see, and I'll call you. And I got back home, and sure enough, there was a check in the mail. And I called Scott and told him that it arrived, and every single letterman who played for him got a $200 check from his estate to take out our spouses or a special person on a date. And so my wife and I went out, and I got a date, and I imagined the waiter was Dean Smith coming up to me serving my food and saying, guys, this one's on me. Pat, it just shows his incredible love for his players, but also expresses why we loved him so much and would run through a brick wall for him and why he was so successful with his teams.
So you really felt you had to obey him and make sure you took your date out rather than spend that money elsewhere, right?
Well, one of the great stories, and you'll appreciate this one, is one of his former players I know actually framed the check and put it on his wall. And then I saw Bobby Jones, you know, again, our mutual friend. And I said, Bobby, what are you going to do? And he said, David, I learned long ago, you don't ever disobey what Coach Smith wants you to do. I'm taking Tess out for dinner.
Yeah, that's beautiful, isn't it? And, Bobby, knowing Bobby, he would do nothing else. David, yeah. In conclusion, give me a little wrap up on from superficial to significant. What do you want us to take away?
Well, there are 10 greats in God's eyes. They are the 10 fundamentals of the Christian faith that God outlines for true greatness in his eyes. And if you practice and imitate Jesus with these 10 fundamentals, these 10 greatnesses that Jesus gives to us, you will be living as he desires you to live. Then you can expect with every sense of fervor to hear his words spoken to you when you go to heaven. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
David, I'm delighted we could visit, and I look forward to seeing you along the way here, and continued success with your books and your church, and we'll be watching your swimmer with great interest, and thanks for a wonderful hour. We've had a good time.
Thank you, Pat. I enjoy our friendship so much, and I'll get you on my radio show in return soon.
David Chadwick, pastor of Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, has been our guest. We have a wrap-up, folks, right after this on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour. Just a reminder, this is 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando, Florida. And we have a wrap-up, as I said. Stay with us.
More of the Pat Williams Power Hour in just a moment on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word.
This is Dennis McKenzie for Families by Design. Strong families are designed by God. Do you want your family designed by God? For inspirational principles for today's families, listen to Families by Design with your host, Dr. Daniel Forbes and Kevin McCormick. Families by Design airs every Sunday at 9 p.m. That's Families by Design right here on the new 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word.
You're listening to the Pat Williams Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word. Now, once again, here's Pat.
Well, folks, thanks for joining us here on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour, right here on 94.9 FM and AM 950, The Word in Orlando. Our guest for the entire hour, boy, it was a good one, David Chadwick, pastor of Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, author of From Superficial Too Significant. By the way, David's website is davidchadwick.org. davidchadwick.org. Please visit my website. It's patwilliams.com. The Twitter page, Orlando Magic Pat. And my latest book is out. It's called The Success Intersection. When your greatest talent intersects with your strongest passion, that, folks, is your sweet spot in life. And that's where you want to stay. That's where you want to work. That's where you want to get paid every 2 weeks. We're back next weekend for more on the Pat Williams Saturday Power Hour on 94.9 FM and AM 950 The Word in Orlando.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the Pat Williams Power Hour. Join us again next week at the same time, where faith comes by hearing. 94.9 FM and AM 950. The Word.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.